Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Jimi Hendrix there. And yesterday I was reading a story that Alice Cooper was talking about. Alice Cooper said that when he was in high school, Jimi Hendrix came to his town, evidently Phoenix, Arizona, because that's where Alice Cooper was in high school. And Alice Cooper, the story said, it was the first time Alice Cooper ever did drugs. And remember, it was the 60s. And Alice Cooper said, Jimi Hendrix came to his town to play when he was in high school, when Alice Cooper was in high school. And Alice Cooper went to the show. And then after the show, now, this is what Alice Cooper said. This is bizarre. This is bizarre, and I'm not sure about this. It had me scratching my head when I was reading it. But Alice Cooper said, after the Jimi Hendrix came, and after the Jimi Hendrix show, Alice Cooper ended up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel with his friends who he was in a band with. He ended up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room smoking weed with Jimi Hendrix. It just didn't make much sense to me. I know the 60s were a different time, but why would Jimi Hendrix, after Jimi Hendrix played a concert in Phoenix, Arizona, and went back to his hotel room, why in God's name would a high school guy, a high school kid, and his bandmates end up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room, sitting on his bed, smoking weed? Coleman, does that make any sense to you? I'm bringing this up because this is what Alice Cooper said he did with his bandmates who were his high school friends after Jimi Hendrix played their town, Phoenix, Arizona. They end up in a hotel room that was Jimi Hendrix's hotel room on his bed smoking weed, and that was the first time. So Alice Cooper ever did drugs?
So do you find it hard to believe that Jimi Hendrix was hanging out with Alice Cooper? Do you find it hard to believe that that was the first time Alice Cooper ever did drugs in his life?
Both of those things you just said.
Okay, now I can believe that possibly they were hanging out with Jimi Hendrix if they had lied about their age. And maybe Jimi Hendrix didn't know that these were high school kids and just thought it was an up-and-coming band, because clearly Alice Cooper made it, so he must have had some sort of talent, which means Alice Cooper must have had some sort of that rock star charisma about him because Alice Cooper did make it. So maybe Jimi Hendrix saw that potential star power and thought it was cool to hang out with this kid.
No, what I'm saying, I don't believe what Alice Cooper said.
Okay, you don't. I say this.
I wasn't there. I don't believe anything Alice Cooper said in this regard.
Now, Alice Cooper, he's a Christian, right?
His father was a Christian preacher,
right?
And when Alice Cooper was a kid, his father made him go to church all the time.
I thought he was recently born again, so I was thinking, why would a recently born again person have to lie about something?
He may be. I don't know about that. But it just doesn't seem very cool on the part of Jimi Hendrix. You're on tour. You're playing Phoenix, Arizona back in the 60s when you're first making it. And that's the other thing. From everything I've read, Jimi Hendrix wasn't that big in the 60s in America. He had to go to England, to London, England, to make it. I don't know. I think Alice Cooper is not telling the truth. I think he's talking crap.
This text says Alice Cooper's band had some good weed. Maybe that's how they got it. Maybe Alice Cooper's band members convinced Jimi Hendrix that they had the great weed, and that's why Jimi Hendrix was hanging out with him.
Maybe, Texter. Maybe it was just bizarre. I recently read a story about how... Now, you'd think you would have heard this story many years ago because Alice Cooper is so old at this point. You'd think he would have told this story years ago about another really, really old rocker. He's dead now, Jimi Hendrix. About how he when I was in high school, you know, Hendrix played in my town. And after the show, I was in a... Now, this could have happened, but...
Yeah, because...
But he says, Alice Cooper says, after the show, I ended up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room with my high school bandmates who were my friends. And that was the first time I ever did drugs. I smoked weed while I was sitting on the bed in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room. I'm like, what?
Well, I'm always amazed when I watch a documentary about an actor or a comedian or a musician, and then there's other musicians and comedians and athletes that tell their stories, then you realize how far their stories go back. You know, we might be watching a documentary about Michael Jordan, you realize, like, somebody young knew Michael Jordan back in the day they met, and it's like, wow, they go this far back. So it doesn't seem out the realm of possibility that Alice Cooper may have smoked weed with Jimi Hendrix. It kind of seems right up the bar.
Here's why I don't believe it, Coleman, that he just made it up. Because Alice Cooper, after he left high school, they were in a band in the Phoenix, Arizona area for a little while, but he left, and the band left, and they went to Los Angeles. Now, this is all true. Because that's when he met Frank Zappa, and Frank Zappa recorded him in his band for the first time. And that was in Los Angeles. And then he said he never really did drugs, but his bandmates, a couple of them, his high school friends did, and they were in Los Angeles recording, and Frank Zappa was who they were recording with, And anyways, I just thought it was bizarre how yesterday, for the first time, I read a story about Alice Cooper and the first time he ever did drugs. And he said he was in high school. And it was when Jimi Hendrix came to he went to a Jimi Hendrix show. And he was with a couple of his high school friends, his bandmates. And ended up in a hotel room, Jimi Hendrix's hotel room, on his bed smoking weed. Why in God's name would Jimi Hendrix have...
What, you thought Jimi Hendrix was too cool?
Maybe for that story.
Mike says, I can understand him lying about it when he was young, but now that he's an adult, why would he have to lie about that?
Good question, Texter. Good question, Mike.
So you've never went to a show and ended up hanging out with a celebrity after the show or nothing like that? Or you've never been anywhere and met somebody famous? I mean, we went to Tip of Tina's one time. We ended up in a tour bus with the Toadies. It's like, it's possible that these things can happen.
No, I mean, that happened, and I was lucky enough. No, not when I was in high school. But when I was on the radio when I was younger. Just the whole thing about how Alice Cooper said the first time he did drugs, it was smoking weed. Now, I know that was a big deal in the 60s, smoking weed. I mean, it's not like today. So smoking weed's legal. You can walk into a store and legally buy it in 18 states in Washington, D.C. But he said that's the first time he ever did drugs, was smoking weed with Jimi Hendrix in his hotel room. He was hanging out with his friends who were in his band, and Hendrix came to town, and that's the first time he ever did drugs. And it could be true.
Yeah, because I'm thinking
it could be true, but it just seems so lame.
I know, but see, I think it was about a decade ago. I remember meeting my favorite radio personality for the first time, second time.
Shut up.
And we ended up drinking beers at his house later that day. I'm like, how did I end up here? Hey, you want to come over for some drinks? You seem cool. I'm like, sure, I'll come over for some drinks.
Well, if you're trying to compare that to the first time Alice Cooper ever did drugs in the 60s, and it was when Jimi Hendrix played a concert in his town, and Alice Cooper and his friends who were in his high school band ended up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel smoking weed with him. If you're trying to compare what you went through to that, well, I think you're stretching. I think you're going a long way stretching yourself.
My favorite radio personality is not Jimi Hendrix. I'm just saying, it's just weird. This text says, in the 60s, adults had no issues smoking pot with high schoolers.
I guess not.
I wasn't around in the 60s.
Anyways, I just thought I'd bring it up because we just played Hendrix, and I'm like, really? Jimi Hendrix, when you were younger, when you were first making it, you were touring and... Anyways,
Alice. This last one says, can you ever trust a guy named Alice?
See, the story would be more believable if Alice Cooper was hanging out with some really good-looking women, and that's who ended up in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room, and Alice Cooper just happened to be there. But from what I read yesterday, there were no women. It was Alice Cooper and his friends in high school. They were in a band, and Jimi Hendrix came to town, and the first time Alice Cooper ever did drugs was that time, because they ended up after the concert in Jimi Hendrix's hotel room smoking weed.
So it'd be more believable if it was a group of people all ending up at Jimi Hendrix.
If they were good-looking women.
Yeah, and Alice Cooper was just in a mix.
Then it would be more believable, because Alice Cooper was an extremely goofy-looking dude when he was younger, and he still is when he's older. Anyways, we have a lot to get to on our show today. Hang out with us. This story coming out during this LSU investigation about this 70-year-old woman who was a security guard at the Superdome, and Darius Geis said, hey, I want to do sex with you. I like women your age. That story is not believable now. That story is getting crazier and crazier by the minute. Stay tuned for that, including a lot of other things on the show this morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock and Odyssey station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And we've talked about the investigation going on into the LSU football program several times on this show. As a matter of fact, their football coach, Ed Orgeron, was supposed to talk to the Louisiana State Senate this week. He was called for. The Louisiana State Senate wanted to question LSU football coach Ed Orgeron about things that have come up during this investigation. And if you've been paying attention to the news, you know that a few people have already lost their jobs when it comes to this investigation. And it's about the LSU football program, some of the players. Darius Geis is at the top of the list. He was a former running back for LSU, a great running back, a high NFL draft pick, but he's been kicked off the Washington NFL football team, basically kicked out of the league because he was arrested for sexually assaulting a woman while he was playing for the Washington football team. He's in all kinds of trouble. His name has come up when it came to sexual assault while he was playing at LSU. Not just him, but other LSU football players as well. And one of the stories regarding Darius Geis while he was playing for LSU had to do when he was in the Superdome here in New Orleans, and a woman, an older woman who worked as a security person in the Dome here in New Orleans, the woman said that Darius Geis approached her while she was working. Now, this woman is around 70 years old. Her name is Gloria Scott. And the story goes that while she was working security in the Superdome here, Darius Geis walked up to her, approached her, and said some things. One of the things he allegedly said to her was that he likes women around her age. He likes older women, and he likes to do sex with older women like her. Supposedly, that's what Darius Geis said to Gloria Scott. Now, we had mentioned that on the show, but there's new news coming out with this story. And that new news is allegedly $100,000 of hush money was demanded by that woman or people around that woman. $100,000 hush money, basically saying, give us $100,000, LSU, And, you know, we won't make a big deal out of the Darius Geis saying what he said to Gloria Scott, the older woman security guard. Now, Gloria Scott denies ever putting a price tag on her silence about the alleged sexual harassment by former LSU football star running back Darius Geis. But a recorded phone call, text messages, and a police report obtained by a local media outlet, WAFB-TV, indicate an associate of hers demanded LSU provide either $100,000 in hush money or keep Darius Geis off the field for the 2017 Citrus Bowl. That's the bowl game LSU was playing in 2017. Obviously, if they're playing in the Citrus Bowl, it wasn't a great season for LSU. Not a big bowl game, not a really important bowl game. But Coleman, they're basically saying now that this woman, who is now 74 years old, and or people associated with her, were trying to bribe or blackmail, whichever one it is, LSU, saying, look, you give us, LSU, you give this woman, the security guard at the Superdome, $100,000, or we're going to demand that Darius Geis not play in that Citrus Bowl. Well, look, he played the game. But this has people looking at this woman now a little bit different. If this $100,000 payoff was demanded by her,
I can completely believe it. I do believe that she probably did want something for her silence. Now she says she didn't give a dollar amount to it, but that doesn't make her case any better. The fact that she didn't put a dollar amount to it, but she did want some sort of compensation for being harassed by Darius Geis. I believe her side of the story. I believe Darius Geis did approach her and did something inappropriate. I believe that she did call LSU officials to get some sort of apology, anything. I believe she did talk to Coach Orgeron, and Coach Orgeron said, hey, would you like him to apologize? And then I do believe that she said, no, I want something more than an apology. I would like some money, or I'll go to the news. I can believe everything from both sides of this story, you know, and it just, this is the world we live in now. Well, nowadays, if you feel wrong or slighted or anything happens to you, especially if it's from somebody from a high profile, you want some high profile money for it. I can totally believe that she did try to extort money from this program for her silence.
All right, look, you got a young star football player at LSU, Darius Geis. If he did approach her, and she, again, a 70-year-old female security guard at the Superdome, if he did approach her in the Superdome and say, I want to do sex with you, I like doing sex with old women like you. I mean, sure, that's awful, and it's wrong, and it's rude. But compared to other things Darius Geis has been accused of, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Darius Geis, again, he's already been arrested and kicked out of the NFL for sexually assaulting a woman, for raping a woman in the Washington, D.C. area. While he was at LSU before that, there are stories going around that he has sexually assaulted female students at LSU. And Coach Orgeron may or may not have known about that. He's supposed to speak to the Louisiana State Senate this week, but I just read where he's sending a letter to the Louisiana State Senate and will not be speaking to them
No, that I thought he would be a stand-up guy and go speak to him.
When we first said that, I said,
I think he'd go. But if he's going to send a letter, that's kind of...
When the Louisiana State Senate is looking into all kinds of problems with the LSU football program, and at the top of the list of those problems is the fact that some of the LSU football players may or may not have sexually assaulted, raped female students there, you would think Orgeron would show up to talk to them when they requested that he do that. But from what I just read, he sent a letter? Or he is sending a letter to the Louisiana State Senate?
Yeah, that's also not a good look.
As they say, the word that is used a lot, the optics don't appear very well there.
Unless he's doing it for COVID reasons. Like, he doesn't want to show up in person because...
You know, I don't want to spread a disease. I don't want to spread the virus.
But it goes to another point I was saying. All right, in this woman's case, that's the security guard at the Superdome. Overall, based on all the other allegations, her case is pretty mild, but yet she still had the audacity to say, I want some money for it. So imagine what the women who have been actually physically assaulted by Darius Geis would have wanted if they came to officials like, hey, Darius Geis did this to me. Here's my price tag. So it, like, her case is making the other actual official women who came out, it's not helping their case as well, because they're going to say, well, why didn't you go to the police? And most people have assumed that, look, the reason that these girls didn't go to the police is because they wanted a payoff. They didn't care whether or not he went to jail or not. They didn't care whether or not justice was being served. They wanted to line their pockets.
Well, because of investigations going on regarding all of this with the LSU football program, a bunch of people, there were two higher-ups who worked at LSU. They were, I know originally they were suspended. I don't know if they still have their jobs or not, but we know former LSU football coach Les Miles lost his job at Kansas, where he was their football coach, because of this investigation. With him, he allegedly made an LSU female student, at least one, if not more of them, feel uncomfortable with text messages, being in a room with her. And LSU reprimanded him while he was still the football coach at LSU, but he never, that news never came out. He never got in any serious trouble. And because of that, he just recently lost his job at Kansas because of what he did while he was at LSU. And the president of LSU at that time, who is now currently the president of Oregon State University, just lost his job as president at Oregon State University because of this investigation of what was going on with the LSU football program.
Yeah, I don't think they lost their jobs because of, hey, whether or not they did wrongdoing at the campus. I think they just lost their jobs because the people who fired them just want to distance themselves before the investigation is over with. Whether or not Les Miles is innocent or guilty, I don't think that has anything to do with him being fired. It's just like, oh, no, we have to separate ourselves from this negativity because now we live in this era of public opinion. So whether or not Les Miles did what he did or didn't do what he did, it's the fact that it's a negative look, and they want to get away from that look. Not necessarily that he's guilty of the things that they're accusing him of. Because he was reprimanded. It was in-house. And I don't think Les Miles violated the terms of his reprimand because, like I said, we never heard about it until recently, which means he didn't repeat the actions he was accused of. He was like, all right, yeah, if she felt uncomfortable, I'll stop bothering her. I will listen to whatever you say. And LSU was cool with it, and he did the rest of his tenure. So when he got fired from Kansas, that's what it was, not Oregon. Yeah, when he got fired from Kansas, I think Kansas just fired him because of the optics, not necessarily whether or not Les Miles did something wrong or right.
Well, there are people losing jobs, and you've got the current football coach who's supposed to talk to the Louisiana State Senate this week. But from what I understand, he's sending them a letter. That's the latest I've read there. What a mess.
Do you think we get these problems from, like, the chess club or the glee club or
the debate team? Yeah, no, it doesn't happen with those. It's the football program. Yeah. It's the football program. But the fact that the woman, the then 70-year-old security guard working at the Superdome, now it's looking like people around her trying to shake down LSU for $100,000 because Darius Geis said that he likes doing sex with older women to her. And if that's the case, again, that's the... sure, Darius Geis, he was rude for saying that, but compared to the other things he's been being accused of, Darius Geis, and things he's been arrested for, that's nothing compared to those things. So, we'll just keep our eye on this investigation, these investigations going on into the LSU football program. What a mess. Hey, coming up on the show, there is a big brouhaha battling now with many people in the country and Major League Baseball for what Major League Baseball did by pulling their All-Star game out of Atlanta because they don't like the state of Georgia's new voter laws. They're calling them very restrictive, and people on the political left are saying in the state of Georgia, they're making it harder for people to vote. People on the political right are saying, what? You're lying about that. What you're saying about that is not true. And now there's a battle going on between many in our country and Major League Baseball for Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta. Stay tuned. More on that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We're an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. April is Sexually Transmitted Diseases Awareness Month. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, you try to learn something all the time on this show, Coleman. April is Sexually Transmitted Diseases Awareness Month. An antibiotic-resistant strain of super gonorrhea.
Oh, no.
Is spreading around the globe right now. Jeez, just when you thought that COVID-19 was the only thing spreading around the globe. But this antibiotic-resistant strain of super gonorrhea is spreading around the globe. Doctors say if ordinary gonorrhea is the clap, this strain is a standing ovation. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. We're an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund, hanging over with you. So, you know who Paul Pierce is? Paul Pierce, a legendary NBA player for most of his career with the Boston Celtics. He did win an NBA championship. I don't know if he got in the Hall of Fame yet, but he is a Hall of Fame player. He will get into the Hall of Fame. He's only been out of the league a few years. But he's been working for ESPN, Paul Pierce, their NBA coverage. He just got fired. And he got fired from this big job because of a video he posted on his Instagram page on Friday night. When I saw the video, I'm like, what is this guy doing? The video is, you see Paul Pierce, he looks higher than a kite.
Smoke weed every day.
And it looks like they're him and at the poker game he's with, they're smoking weed, and there are strippers in the Instagram video of Paul Pierce. So he's playing poker, he's smoking weed, and he's hanging out with strippers. And again, when I got word of this video, I'm thinking to myself, what is he doing? Well, that was Friday night. What's today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yesterday on Monday, he was fired by ESPN.
Rejected!
Because of that video. I mean, what are you doing posting that video of yourself with strippers, smoking weed, playing poker? Well, right after he got fired, he then went on Twitter. I guess he put a big smiley face something, and then he said, big things coming soon. Stay tuned. Make sure you smile. Hashtag truth shall set you free. So now I'm thinking he's probably got another job lined up and he needed to get fired. He needed to get out of his contract with ESPN. I could be wrong about all of this, but it reminded me of a couple of guys I used to work with back in Boston, Opie and Anthony, friends of mine. We, you know, our station, WAAF back then, put them, those two together. You know, Opie sent us his demo tape, and I remember listening to it, and the best parts of his demo tape, the funniest parts of his demo tape, were when he had this other guy on, Anthony, who he used to do some stuff with. And so I remember when we hired them, our program director at the time, Ron Valeri, I was the music director of WAF at the time. I remember when Ron Valeri got back to Opie, he said, yeah, you got the job, but you got to bring that guy Anthony with you. Because Anthony was installing air conditioning units and Opie was the radio guy. So we put those two together. Well, they worked at AAF for about 3 years. Those are some good times we had. Good guys. A lot of fun with those guys. But they weren't making that much money at WAAF. And evidently, I mean, their show was great. New York City, a radio station in New York City, wanted to hire them and pay them a lot more money than they were making at AAF in Boston. So they needed to get out of their contract. So they did a couple of things that got them fired. The April Fool's prank saying the mayor of Boston got killed in a car crash. People went nuts because that didn't happen. And the mayor's daughter happened to be listening to them at the time and she was upset. What do you mean my father's dead? And that got them fired from our station, WAAF, so then they could be hired for a lot more money in New York City at WNEW. So that's what I thought of when I saw all of this. I'm like, yeah, I remember friends of mine that I used to work with did the same thing in Boston to get out of their contract.
Hey, if you ever get your big break, John, don't go rogue. I don't want to go back to washing dishes.
That's the first time you've said that on this radio show, because we have said a few times, Coleman, this is just one of your two jobs, but you're no longer going to be doing that. You're no longer going to be delivering food, chicken wings on the West Bank.
Fingers crossed. We got to make it through these 2 weeks first.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'll try to hang on to this, Coleman. But so anyways, Paul Pierce, we'll see what happens with his next announcement. But wow, that was crazy.
Like he was having fun, though, in that video.
He did look like he was having a good time in that video. All right, coming up next on the show, there's a battle now between about half the country and Major League Baseball. Because Major League Baseball pulled their All-Star game out of Atlanta because they don't like Georgia's new voter laws. And now there's a battle starting between half the country and Major League Baseball over this. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We're an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So on yesterday's show, we mentioned this a little bit, but this story now has gone to another level. Major League Baseball moved the All-Star game, this year's All-Star game. They moved it out of Atlanta because Major League Baseball didn't like the state of Georgia's new voter laws that they have there. And so Major League Baseball decided, you know what? We don't like the new law. in Georgia when it comes to voting. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to move the All-Star game that was set to be in Atlanta, Georgia, in a couple of months. We're moving it out. And they're going to move it to Denver, Colorado, the home of the Colorado Rockies baseball team. And now, this is something, because they move the game. They don't like the law, the voter law in Georgia. This is a completely 100% political situation where half the country likes the new voter laws in Georgia, and half the country doesn't like it. The Democrats, the political left in this country, do not like the law. The political right in this country, the Republicans, like the law.
But screw the country. It's all about what Georgia like. This is the state of Georgia. It should be up to whether Georgia. Who cares what the rest of the country thinks of what goes on in Georgia?
States' rights.
Right.
Right?
So whether the half the country likes it or not shouldn't be an issue. It's a Georgia issue.
Now, the new voter law in Georgia, basically, they're keeping an eye on mail-in votes. They want to tighten that up, and they want to make sure people who vote in Georgia have one valid form of photo ID when they vote. That doesn't seem like it's crazy, does it? But the way the political left looks at this is that it's voter suppression, that this is racist. And as a matter of fact, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, got involved in this, and he called the law Jim Crow on steroids. That's what the president called it. And the way I look at it is, wait a minute. You wanna keep an eye on mail-in voting. How do you feel about mail-in voting, Coleman? I mean, we mentioned this yesterday. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of mail-in voting. I think it could be ripe with fraud.
Well, every form of voting has the potential to be ripe with fraud. But I do believe that in a few generations, or maybe after this generation, I think voting is going to be completely digital at some point, where you just go on your phone or you go on your computer. I think at some point in the future, national elections are going to be completely digitized, where no one has to go into an actual ballot box. I think that's where the future is heading. You know, the younger generation are more secure with technology.
Sure, that's so the future, but we're not there right now.
I think mail-in voting is a part of that process where people are starting to do more things from home. It's not just voting anymore. Now people are shopping and getting stuff delivered straight to their house.
Sure, sure.
So I think this is just a part of that natural progression. So how do I feel about mail-in voting? If people who want to engage in mail-in voting feel secure, sure, why not? How do I feel about it personally? I would rather go into a ballot and vote, but I'm not under illusions that the way voting will, you know, is going to change sometime in the future.
And the voting issue is completely political as well, because you've got half the country who think, about half the country who think there is voter fraud. Republicans believe that there is voter fraud out there. Democrats, they don't think there's any voter fraud out there. And they think if there is, it's so small, it doesn't make a difference in elections.
I'm kind of in that vein. I do believe that there are some forms of voter fraud and scams, and people try to, you know, overturn elections. But all the cases I've seen, like I said, they were either caught or they were exposed, or they were so minute that it really didn't make a difference in the outcome of most of the election. So yeah, people will try, but that's been since the beginning of time. You know, there's always going to be some form of people trying to manipulate an election to their advantage. So that's not out the ordinary.
Well, Major League Baseball, they're not the only ones who aren't happy with the new Georgia voting laws. Coca-Cola, who I believe is based in Georgia, they came out against the new voter laws in Georgia. What's interesting about Coca-Cola, when they had their last big, massive shareholders meeting last year, to get into the shareholders meeting, you needed a valid form of photo ID. So for their own company, they make you have one valid form of photo ID to get into their shareholder meeting, but they don't think that's that big of a deal when it comes to voting. So Coca-Cola and other corporations have come out against this. And again, the people on the political left say that this is Jim Crow, that this is racist, Georgia's new voting law. The people on the political right, including the governor of Georgia, are like, stop with all of these ridiculous lies. This isn't Jim Crow. This isn't racist. We're just keeping an eye. We want to tighten up mail-in voting. And you should have one valid form of photo ID to vote. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Don't you need a valid form of photo ID to do most things in this country? I mentioned yesterday, I'm moving over the next couple of weeks. I'm staying in New Orleans. I'm actually only moving right down the street. I'm switching buildings where I live. But I needed a driver's license. I had to show them a valid form of photo ID. And most people, that's a driver's license. If people don't have a driver's license or don't drive, they can get a state ID with their picture on it. You need a valid form of photo ID to do many, many things. As a matter of fact, I'd like to do most things in this country. You're dealing with a bank, you're dealing with whatever the case may be. You need one valid form of photo ID. I said yesterday, I'd like to talk to anybody who doesn't have a valid form, one valid form of photo identification, because I'd like to see how you do some things in life.
What my small brain can't comprehend is how do you present a valid form of ID for a mail-in vote? That's the only thing I can't picture right now. Maybe there's some laws in the books to explain that, but if you are intending to mail in a vote, how do you present a valid ID to prove who you are through the mail?
Maybe take a picture of your driver's license or a picture of your state ID.
Probably send a photocopy.
Include that with.
So now you got to get a Xerox copy of your photo ID and put that in there. You got to go to Kinko's or something.
Well, and what else is interesting about this is moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta, which the Atlanta area there, 76. Atlanta is 76% black. They're moving it to Denver, Colorado. I'm sorry. The Atlanta, Georgia is 51% black. And they're moving the game to Denver, which is 76% white. So they're hurting many people in their political party by moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta, again, which is 51% black, to Denver, Colorado, which is 76% white. You could text us if you want. This is crazy what is happening in the state of Georgia because of their new voter laws, which half the country say the other half of the country is lying about. The political right is saying the political left is lying. And when the president says this is Jim Crow on steroids, that's very divisive. I mean, Jim Crow, those laws said black people couldn't eat in the same places white people couldn't eat in. And so the president is saying that this, what Georgia just did, is a lot worse than that. That's pretty divisive, isn't it? Text us your thoughts on the new voting law in Georgia. I mean, do you agree with the political right or the political left? I mean, the political left is saying this is Jim Crow on steroids. This is worse. The president said that this is worse than the Jim Crow laws. That's pretty insane, isn't it? And the political right is saying, including the governor of Georgia, saying, stop lying about our new laws. And remember, the NBA moved their All-Star game 3 years ago out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They moved it here to New Orleans. Remember that? And they moved that because they didn't like the whole transgender bathroom situation, the law there in North Carolina, how they weren't down with transgender bathrooms. So they moved the All-Star game out of Charlotte and moved it to New Orleans. That the NBA did that 3 years ago. This is going to have an over $100 million ramification. There's $100 million now that's going to be lost in Atlanta, majority black, to go to Denver, Colorado, majority white. That's what the Major League Baseball All-Star Game moving is costing, over $100 million. That's not going to be seen now in Atlanta. Text us your thoughts. Which side are you on? Do you agree with Major League Baseball and Coca-Cola? Or do you agree with the state of Georgia wanting to keep an eye on their elections a little bit more than they have? Text us at 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Is an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. 11 years ago today, Apollo astronaut Buzz Aldrin was voted off of the television show Dancing with the Stars. For some reason, on the moon, he was much lighter on his feet. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. An Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Now, every time I hear Ozzy Osbourne, and I think about his life, and when obviously he had a lot of success when he was young with Black Sabbath, but he got fired from Black Sabbath. He moves to the United States. And he's living in a small little apartment in Hollywood, California, where he's drinking and drugging himself to death. And that's when Sharon Osbourne came in and helped save his life. She said, "You gotta straighten up. You know, you can still sing. You've got a name. We gotta put a band together, and you've gotta put out a solo album." And, you know, she saved his life. There's no doubt about that. And she knew him because her father was Black Sabbath's manager back when Ozzy was singing for Black Sabbath. And her father ripped off Black Sabbath big time. But when he put his band together, he got two guys in his band, two guys from a bar band in Hollywood, a bar band called Quiet Riot. You got the guitar player, Randy Rhoads, who's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. He died much too young. And then you got the bass player, Rudy Sarzo. He got two guys that were in a bar band in Hollywood. They went on to become huge, obviously, with Ozzy. And then Quiet Riot made it after those guys left. That's when Quiet Riot finally hit it big.
You mean the remaining guys from Quiet Riot?
Yeah, there was the singer and the drummer, Coleman. And then they hired a new guitar player. They got a new bass player. And they kept playing the clubs. And then they wrote their biggest album ever, Mental Health, after those two guys left to go join Ozzy's band. And I always found that interesting.
you know, you would think Quiet Riot would have been able to make it with Randy Rhoads as their guitar player, you know, but they made it after he left. I just always found that very, very interesting. So did you watch any of that game last night? Yesterday at this time on the show, I said, you know, tonight's college basketball national championship game. It's got the two best teams in college basketball for the whole season. All year long, Gonzaga was number one, undefeated, and Baylor was number two. All year long. And so in the national championship game, it looked like going to be the two best teams. It's going to be a fantastic game. But it wasn't like that at all. Baylor eviscerated Gonzaga last night. And so not only doesn't Gonzaga win the national championship, but if they won, they would have been one of just a small handful of teams to ever go undefeated through the entire college basketball season. And those kids, they're going to have to think about that every day for the rest of their lives.
Has Gonzaga ever won one tournament?
No.
But they've always
pretty they've much always been good. Coleman, they play in a smaller conference, a very small conference with not big schools. They're not in a major conference. So their schedule during the regular season is much easier than Baylor's schedule, because Baylor plays in a big conference, the Big 12. But Gonzaga, every year they're good. Every year they win their small conference. Every year they get into the tournament, and then they lose at some point during the tournament. Last night, I mean, they made it to the final, the championship game, and then they lost. But I was thinking to myself, boy, you know, you're one of those players. You know, you go on with your life. But that's always going to be in their minds that they were not only one game short of doing something only a handful of people and teams have ever done in history, go undefeated, win the national championship in college basketball, but they were awful.
Were they awful, or was Baylor just that good?
No, they were awful. Baylor was great, but Gonzaga was, it was almost as if they didn't show up. When the light was shining brightest on them, they cowered. Those 20-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids, they're going to have to think about that for the rest of their lives.
Oh, I'm quite sure they are.
What they could have been. They came one game away from being in such an elite class, but now what are they? They're the team who gagged when the light was shining the brightest.
I'm quite sure some of them lost sleep just thinking about a one block that they could have made, or one shot that if it would have sank, it would have made a completely different dynamic of the ball game, or just showing up and trying to do something.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Baylor, they came out right from the get-go, and they were ready to play ball, and it seemed like Gonzaga wasn't. Maybe because two nights before, it took a half-court shot at the buzzer for Gonzaga to win, and maybe they were out of gas. I don't know. There's no other way to describe it. But when you have your shining moment, and you don't show up, you gagged. That group of people, they're going to have to think about that. That's going to be, sure, you could say, well, hey, they made it to the championship game, the NCAA. Yeah, they did. But boy, if they won, they would have been one of only a few teams. I mean, I could think of Indiana. I could think of maybe a UCLA team. But there were only a handful of teams in history in college basketball that went through the whole season and then the NCAA tournament undefeated.
I'm going to choose to look at this optimistically and say for the Zags, this is a character-building moment.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm being optimistic. Hopefully this is character building. You know, how they always say, if you don't try, try, try again. If you fall, get back up. So hopefully this is a character building moment, and they become better people because of it.
But as a sports fan, it was so disappointing watching that last night. I thought we're going to have a great game. The two best college basketball teams all year, and only one of them really showed up, and the other one just kind of just whimpered their way through the game. Coming up next on the show, we have an update on a story we did a week or so ago. Remember that giant traffic cone in New Orleans? I mean, it was 8 to 10 feet tall. It made all the other traffic cones look like dwarves, and we were wondering, this couldn't have come from the city. Well, there's an update on that king cone, on that giant traffic cone. Stay tuned for that. We got more we got to get to. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning as well. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station, and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans' morning radio show. And we have an update on a story that we talked about, I think it was last week, a week and a half ago. Do you remember mysteriously people saw a giant 8-foot traffic cone? You know, most orange cones are small. But over one large pothole in the Irish Channel neighborhood here in New Orleans a week or two ago, a giant, massive 8-foot traffic cone appeared over one of the massive potholes. And I said, wow, finally we're getting traffic cones the size of our potholes here in New Orleans. And then I was wondering, there's no way that the city could have put that. That didn't come from any legitimate organization, because every other traffic cone in the city is only, 2 feet tall? So why all of a sudden is there this one massive 8-foot orange traffic cone over a massive New Orleans pothole? And I actually liked it, because we have so many big potholes in this city. Wouldn't it be something to see those giant 8-foot orange cones all over the city?
I think some point a company is going to take notice of how effective that 8-foot cone is, and they will start producing 8-foot cones for uses around the city for major construction sites. I think somebody was innovative without even trying to be innovative.
And if you didn't see it, it's on our show page on our website. Bayou957.com, and then go over where it says on air, click on the John Osterlund Show, and then scroll down a little bit. By the way, there's a lot of stuff that we think is entertaining up there, videos, stories, and such. One of the we put it up there when we were talking about it a week or so ago, was the giant orange 8-foot traffic cone over the pothole.
I'll tell you what I do. I just put it right up front for people who want to see it right quick. It's take me 2 seconds.
Well, and anyways, that didn't come from any, it didn't come from the city. It didn't come from the Sewage and Water Board of New Orleans. It didn't come from any of those places. It was a very witty New Orleans resident that did that with a great sense of humor. Well, here's an update on that story. That cone disappeared for a short while, but on Easter Sunday, it was resurrected. And it was resurrected. It didn't look like it did before Easter Sunday. It wasn't orange. Oh, no. It reappeared. It was white with a set of angel wings a crown of thorns and what looks like a cardboard stone tablet. The massive traffic cone, I guess it was risen.
It had an Easter theme, huh?
On Easter Sunday. And one of the stores there, remember, this is in the Irish Channel neighborhood, close to the Garden District, close to Uptown. There was a shop on Magazine Street called Dirty Coast. And they went out and they took pictures of it and on Easter Sunday morning and posted it to their Facebook page and had a lot of people talking. So we have a lot of people in the great city of New Orleans who have fantastic senses of humor. So whoever did this, first the original orange giant 8-foot traffic cone, and then when it disappeared, and then right before Easter Sunday, and then Easter Sunday morning, it comes back, but it doesn't look like it did. It's pale, and it's got white wings on it, and it's...
I have a theory, John. What if the people responsible for the 8-foot cone and the resurrection cone or the same people that was responsible for the monolith that started popping up in the deserts everywhere, in the Stonehenge. Remember that big silver monolith that just popped up strangely and disappeared?
They're not the same people.
You sure? Because I connected the dots and I did the research, and if you look very, very closely, the angel wings kind of resemble a circle that looks like a dot with the number 7. And if you divide that by pi, and then you look at some of the internet codes and the Morse code, you can see that there's a connection to the monolith and the... Or at least that's what the conspiracy theorists tell me.
I think this is pure New Orleans. This is pure New Orleanians. And they didn't go out to any desert. They stayed at the Irish Channel in the city. But this is, you know, some people wanted that 8-foot orange traffic cone to run for mayor. It would have gotten votes. Coleman, that would have gotten votes. Some people, I would have voted for that.
I do.
Over who we currently have in office here.
But I do genuinely believe, even though I know the 8-foot traffic cone is a spoof, I think in certain situations it could be truly effective in construction sites and work sites and places of where there needs to be caution. I do believe that an 8-foot cone would actually help. I know it's supposed to be a joke and a mockery or in a parody, but it could actually work in real life situations. If you run into an 8-foot cone, something's wrong with you. If you didn't see an 8-foot cone and you fall into a pothole or a construction site, that is on you. You can't deny an 8-foot traffic cone.
But I love the 8-foot traffic cone.
I do too.
Because, again, we have so many potholes in the city, and many of them are huge, that it was very fitting. But it disappeared, and it came back again on Easter Sunday. It was white. It was a set of angel wings on it, crown of thorns, and it, what looked like a cardboard stone tablet. So whoever did that, the original cone, and then I guess the resurrection, good job. Yes. And now to the city of New Orleans, can we please fix the damn potholes in the streets?
Don't hold your breath, John.
Boy, oh boy. All right, coming up, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And, oh, it's that time where every hour from 7 a.m. through 6 p.m., we're giving you the chance to win $1,000.
Cha-ching.
Listen for the code word. We're doing that now. We're making it rain here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. We're an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. April is National Cannabis Awareness Month.
Smoke weed every day.
According to a new study, the sperm of men who smoke marijuana don't swim as well as others, but they can hold their breath a lot longer. And also in that study, the potency of marijuana has increased steadily over the past 20 years. The good news is, that was the good news. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And wait till you see what this woman did at a Burger King. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Woman shoots up Burger King drive-thru because employee forgot her dipping sauce. You know, we talk about poor fast food workers and what they have to deal with. And this, luckily, nobody got hurt. Nobody got shot. But this is some story. And by the way, I've got not only the story, I've got the picture of the woman with the gun in her hand holding it through the drive-through window. It's on our website, bayou957.com. It's today's dumbest thing I read all morning. This is incredible. Yeah, Coleman, I just put that up there.
I gotcha.
A Tennessee woman opened fire inside a Burger King drive-thru window after becoming enraged about the wait time. Okay, so that's a little bit different, the wait time, than it says in the headline. In the headline, it says she shot up the Burger King drive-thru because employee forgot her dipping sauce.
I think that was the last straw. You know how things elevate and they escalate. So it starts with the drive time, just starts with the messed up order. Then it goes to the missing of the... That's the straw that breaks the camel's back, I'm assuming.
Surveillance photos show the unhinged customer leaning through the Memphis, Tennessee Burger King fast food open window, the drive-thru window, while brandishing a black handgun. Yeah, these pictures are something. Again, I got them up on our website, bayou957.com. In one image, the woman holds up the firearm with both hands and aims it inside the drive-thru window.
And she's doing that completely incorrectly. She's using the tea and saucer grip. That is completely the improper grip.
Yeah, she's not holding the gun.
No,
the way
that tea and saucer thing is going
to
cause damage.
Cops said the woman pulled up to the restaurant the other night, got into an argument with workers because she felt that her order was taking too long to complete. She then run from her car and fired several shots at the staffers. She gets out of the car and she goes right to the drive-thru window and sticks both of her arms with the gun in her hand through the drive-thru window and she opens fire.
Would you come to work the next day after that?
She then grabbed the gun again. This is incredible. She fired shots, Coleman. Several shots at staffers. The employees fled through a back door and were unharmed. Thank God. Cops are still searching for this deranged person. A Burger King shift supervisor says the customer was not upset about the wait time, alleging that his team is always very prompt with service. Instead, the supervisor at that Burger King says she was upset because one of his team members failed to include dipping sauce for her chicken nuggets. Do you know at Burger King you can get 10 chicken nuggets for like $1.49?
I did not know that.
All the time.
I did not know that.
All right, so there, I'm glad that the supervisor there at that Memphis, Tennessee Burger King straightened us out.
Right.
Because there were two different stories. What would make a woman get out of her car in the drive-thru window at a Burger King, run up to that window with a gun in her hand, with both arms, stick both arms through the window with the gun in her hand, and just start pulling the trigger and firing bullets. It wasn't the wait, because the supervisor wants you to know at that Burger King, you don't have to wait very long. She was mad. She was mad that she didn't get her sauce, her dipping sauce, with her chicken nuggets.
That's a good supervisor. Hey, don't judge my people on their wait time. Their wait time is excellent. We have good wait time. It was the dipping sauce. You know, I had 3 dipping sauce experiences 3 days in a row back to back. The first time I went, they forgot they didn't have barbecue sauce, so I had to use buffalo sauce instead. The second time they had barbecue sauce, but they forgot it in the bag. And yesterday when I went back, they forgot they didn't have the barbecue sauce, and they put mayonnaise on my sandwich. So 3 days in a row, I had bad fast food orders experience. However, I have never pulled out my gun and threw it inside the drive-thru window. I'm just going to try back one more time just to hopefully they get it right. Two barbecue sauces, no mayonnaise on a sandwich. That's all I want.
I was just about to say before you said that, Coleman, we've all been frustrated in fast food drive-thru window lines. We've all been frustrated. But most people, the last thing in the world they would do to relieve themselves of their frustration is to grab a gun, get out of the car, walk up to the drive-through window, and then have the gun in your hand and both arms you stick through the drive-through window to start just firing rounds at the Burger King employees who work there.
And again, I'm just going to assume this is not the first time this woman has pulled a gun out and shot at people in her lifetime.
By the way, Coleman, I am a big fan of both barbecue sauce and buffalo sauce. I love both of those.
The buffalo sauce isn't bad. It's just when you have a taste for something and you aren't able to get it. Especially that time where they said they had a barbecue sauce, but they forgot to put it in the bag. And I should have checked. I should have checked, but I was distracted because I was FaceTiming with a hot babe.
Wow. So it's safe to say that this woman has mental illness, okay? Because back in the day, we would just say this crazy, you know what. But she obviously has mental illness that needs to be checked. Can you imagine just opening fire through the drive-thru window of a fast food restaurant because you didn't get your dipping sauce for your chicken nuggets? You know, again, I could see being upset, but how difficult would it be to, in the time where she grabbed her gun, ran to the drive-thru window, stuck her arms through it, and started firing off rounds, she could have pulled over and walked into the restaurant and said, hey, can I get some sauce?
Or if she stuck her head in the window, she could have just said it then. Hey, I forgot my barbecue, because her head was in the window. She was in the drive-thru window. If she'd have tilted over, she'd have been inside the store. So
I don't know. I think she already drove past the window, though. I think she came back.
Ah, okay. But she was still in the window when she had the gun. Yeah. Oh, I hit it early. That was my hand. That was my fault.
Yeah, well.
I wanted to bang on it and hit the button.
The woman who shoots up through the Burger King drive-thru window because, well, originally we thought she had to wait too long in line and she wasn't happy about how long she waited, but we realized that wasn't the reason because the supervisor cleared that up for us in the story. She shot up the Burger King through the drive-thru window because one of the employees forgot her dipping sauce for her chicken nuggets. And it doesn't say here if it was barbecue or what type of sauce she didn't get. Wow. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We're an Odyssey station.